Well, I'm going to share some thoughts today, and just along the lines of faith. And, you know, how many know that Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And it says, you know, some you can read, you know, if you look up certain words, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. So this is really when we say faith comes through or by revelation or seeing something in the Word of God, you know, an aha moment. Oh, I see that. Now, when you see something, you are to... Oh, boy. We got to go back to Faith 101 here. Okay. So let's look at... let's open up and let's take a look at James. Chapter 1 and verse 22. I'm going to look at, let's put up the New Living Translation. You know, years ago, you could read some books. Smith Wigglesworth always would say this, you know, in some of his books, and he had this strong British accent. He would say, faith is an act. Faith is an act. That's what he used to say. Faith is an act. So when you see something, you are to act upon it. So James 1:22, this is the New Living. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and do what? Forget what you look like. So when you see something and then you don't act, you walk away, and you forget what you saw. Revelation, the further away from acting. How many have ever had this? When you see something in the Word and you don't write it down. Anybody ever done this? You see it, you don't write it down, or you don't voice it, you don't type it out quickly. And then 5 hours later, an hour later, you go, what was that God showed me? There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. So when we don't document and write down what we saw or see in the Word, when we move away, it's like us looking at ourselves in a mirror, and we walk away and we forget. You forget what you saw. You forget, you don't see the revelation as clearly as you saw it when you don't act. So it's the same thing. When God shows you, it could be, it's different for all of us because we're all at different things, and God knows what you need to see to grow in faith. But he shows it to you not just to get you excited. It's for you to do what? Act upon it. I'll give you a good scripture. It says, honor the Lord with your... How many are honoring the Lord with their substance? When he sees and shows somebody they should give more, and they go, yeah, I'd like to, but... And then they move away from it, and they don't see it as clearly. God's trying to bless us And when we don't act upon it, we don't release his ability into the situation. We're looking at it saying, well, I can't do that. It could be walking in love. It could be, don't eat as much. Well, I want to eat. Okay, he's trying to show you something. He's trying to reveal. Every one of us in here, we need to do what? When he shows us something, be quick to respond. Be quick to act. Because if we don't, then we short circuit faith. And this is what happens even in camps, you know, we call faith camp. Oh, yeah, we're hearing. We're hearing the word. But how many are doing the word of what they hear? Huh. Because we're big on hearing, because we say, oh, faith. Faith comes by hearing. So I'm going to pour all the hearing in. But then when you see something, are we quick to act? Because I'll tell you what happens. This is, we've all been here. You know, you hear my story about Apple stock. I tell it over and over, so I hammer it home for me. When you hesitate, you hesitate on something you see and know. And the further you get away from that, when you hesitate, then you're not acting. You're hesitating. What happens when you see something? What's the first thing that usually kicks in? Reason. Well, you know, I can't. Your mind starts reasoning why you can't do something. We've all been here. We've all lived this. We start thinking, well, you know, if I do this, this will happen. And you start thinking about the reasons why you can't. But what does Proverbs say? What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So for all of us, when we see something, we need to move in the direction of acting. We may not know how, but if he tells us whatever it is, walk in love. I'll tell you, I went through probably one of the toughest spots at that time of my life. I had lent somebody, if I say too much more about it, you know, it'll expose somebody. But this was 30 years ago, maybe 20-some, 30. Here in the ministry, here, somebody was in a tough spot. And they needed some money. I said, sure, I had a lot of extra money. My accounts were full and overflowing. And I was said, sure, I'll help you. And so I helped them for months. Paid bills, gave them money to get them over the hump. And then they took off, never to be heard of. Ooh, I was hot, because this was somebody I trusted, and I said, if I see that joker, it's not going to be good. Now, I'm easy, but boy, you know, when somebody takes your money and they stiff you, and don't even turn around and say, hey, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. But just take off. Don't give you a phone call, nothing. It's like, The fight came out of me. I'm serious. I said, if I see him, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it may not be pretty. And I remember being home and the Lord spoke to me by his Spirit real softly, let it go. And I said, no. I'm not letting it go because I'm ticked off and angry. Now, look, you could walk through something else where God says to you, forget it. And you go, no, I'm hurt. No, I'm getting even. Or you know how it is, it could be husband and wife. I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna say something. That's it. They got it coming. I'm saying it. And the Holy Spirit will sweetly say to you, just let it go. No. They need to know what I'm feeling right now. They need to feel my wrath. Right? I mean, we've all been there, right? But in this case, that was hard for me. It was very hard because it was personal, just like things are personal with you. And the Holy Ghost said, let it go. And I said, no. And then he kept nudging me, let it go. And it took a while for me to do what? Yield. And obey. And finally I said, okay. And I started where I was. I started to just say, Father, I forgive you. But I started. And every day I'd say, okay. And it got easier every day. Every day it got easier and easier and easier to the place where I went, I'm that's it. It's gone. I'm gone. If he shows up, no big deal. And he did show up at one of our services. And he walked over to me like nothing happened, said, hey, brother, how's it going? Never said, hey, sorry about blah, blah, blah. It was like nothing ever happened. And when I tell you it was a lot of money, given a lot. This was not chump change. And I just reached my hand out and said, hey, praise the Lord, good to see you. But if I hadn't obeyed, there might have been... May have been, because that's how I felt. When I see him, it's on. But I obeyed. And so you can talk all you want, but until you act on something that he shows you, you're hindering the power of God to be released in your spirit, because when you don't want to forgive, he empowers you to forgive. It's his power. It's not my ability. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he strengthened me in my spirit to release that, forgive, and empowered me to love. I sure didn't want to. And so that's all I'm really sharing, that when it comes to faith, it requires that we act. It requires that we respond when we see something, or when he shows you something, or he speaks softly in your heart, or he brings something to your mind, you know, you shouldn't do that. And you go, yeah, I know. But you don't act. Yeah, I know I should. And that's as far as it goes. Then what does it say? It says when we don't obey, it says you're just kidding yourself. You're deceived or deluded. So when we're talking about faith here, God is still the same. You know, think about just examples all through the Bible and the Old Testament. Moses didn't go into the promised land because he didn't obey. He hit the rock, and that was not the instructions. He was supposed to speak to the rock. And God says, because you haven't obeyed me, you'll not go in. And who ended up going in? Joshua, Caleb. They were the only two from that generation, the only two that went in. So let's not be of the, you know, a generation that doesn't obey. God's saying, look, he wants to raise up an army to fight. And so we can see, what did Joshua do when he came in? What did he do? He was given instructions to do what? March around what? Jericho. Did he obey? Oh, yeah, he did. And there's other accounts. Jesus obeyed. What was Jesus' first miracle? Turning water into wine. And those that were with him, what did his mother say? Whatever he says do, do it. Now you can just imagine, here you are at this big feast, and there's water pots, and he says, fill them with water and draw out. Yeah, it didn't sit for a while. He said, put the water in and draw out. Now, you don't think there was some reasoning going on. That's water. But that's what I'm saying. When he gives us some things to do, whatever it is that may seem silly, crazy, outlandish, obey. Just obey. Begin to move in that direction. He sees your heart. He knows you got questions. He knows you're wrestling with it. What did Peter do when he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. He got out of the boat. He's walking on the water. But then what did he do? Reason kicked in. He started looking at the circumstances. And what happened? He said he started to sink. But isn't a wonderful thing? Jesus immediately responded, right? So for us, we need to respond. Now, let's look at, I want to take a few minutes here, and let's look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. See, always remember, hearing, this is the other thing that people get stuck on. Hearing is not doing. People say, yeah, I'm in faith. Yeah, but are you doing? Or are you just hearing? Hearing is not doing. Faith is released how? By doing. 1 Timothy 6:12. I'm going to read this from the King James and then the New Living. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now this is the New Living. It says, fight the good fight for the true faith, hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Now, let me read one more. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, fight the worthwhile battle of the faith. Keep your grip on that life eternal to which you have been called and to which you boldly professed your loyalty before many witnesses. So faith is what? It's a fight, but it's a good fight. And God is expecting us to be strong and fight. So we need to fight a different kind of fight. And our fight is what? We have different kinds of weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty, how? Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So isn't it interesting? Look at Acts 16, 25 and 26. This is Paul and Silas. And I'm sure they didn't feel like praising God. But it says, and at midnight, this is the King James, Paul and Silas did what? Prayed and sang praises unto God. And the what? The prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. So they did what? They began to pray. They began to sing praises unto God while they were bound. Isn't it interesting? They made one mistake. They bound them, but they didn't tape their mouth shut. Right? So they could say something, right? They prayed and sang praises unto God. That's what we need to do when we're in tight spots. We need to, whether we feel like it or not, we need to just say, you know what? Lord, I don't feel like doing this, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith with my words and my praise, and I'm going to say something about this situation. And we're going to fight the good fight of faith. So, you know, so often we're not really fighting the good fight of faith. And if we are, stay steady. If we are fighting the good fight of faith, then stay steady. Don't talk about, this is one of the things that has become clearer and clearer to me. Don't speak what you're walking through and experiencing. And if you are going to say something, if you're going to say, yeah, I'm walking through, you say, but God is delivering me. He is my strength. He is my shield. But I'll tell you, it's better not to give the devil glory. You say, I'm walking through this, but I'm on the victory side of this. I'm on the victory side. We fight from a place of victory. We're the ones seated in him. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. You know, I read something, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and Brother Hagin was, and I read these daily, and he was talking about a family member. Or he went somewhere, and this person, it was, a cousin or something, and they came out, and he said they were just going off, cursing and carrying on, fussing at him, and just giving him the business, just cursing and swearing and so forth. And he said, while he stood there, he didn't say anything, he said, I just looked to the inside. I said, the greater one's in me. Rather than let your flesh dictate a response, think who's inside. And he said he began to just think in his mind, in his heart, the greater one's in me. This poor dear soul, they don't know what they're doing. They really need Jesus. And he just stood there and he said, she sputtered out and knelt down in front of him and said, oh God, pray for me. I need Jesus. After all of the stuff, she just sputtered out and acknowledged. But he said it was the greater one. He just let compassion rise. And I think sometimes when we're dealing with people, we just need to keep our hearts stirred that when we're dealing with people, they're being motivated and influenced by the enemy, by the evil one. And we need to let the love of God be in our hearts and respond accordingly. Amen. Don't let the devil, this was something I wrote down, this was something that Smith Wigglesworth wrote. He said, if the enemy can move us from a place of faith, he can get us outside of the plan of God for our lives. So don't let the devil move you out of faith. Keep yourself in faith, then you're in God's will, in his plan for you. Don't let him get you over in the natural. And I was sharing that Wednesday, and this was something Reverend Annie shared recently, and Kevin said, you know, so often we hear walking in the Spirit. Said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill, what does it say? The lusts of the flesh. He said, when we say walking in the Spirit, he said, what that really means is that you're more aware of him than you are natural things or your flesh. So when we say walk in the Spirit, it means just being more aware of him. Well, you can be more aware of him by taking 15, 20 minutes and praying the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden you stir yourself up and you're more aware of him. Well, that's being in the Spirit. But I'm here in the natural, but I'm in the Spirit. And that's why when we talk about fasting, it's so that we become what? More aware of him. We put aside some natural things that we might do. And we replace that with something spiritual. It could be reading the Word. It could be praying in the Holy Ghost. And you become what? More aware of him. That's the benefit of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say this, I live by faith. I walk by faith. Glory to God. And when I see something by God's direction, then I'm going to respond. I'm going to act. Hallelujah. I'm going to act. This is why when we prompt, as much as we lieth within us, when something feels right or we sense it's right to do, some things may not be normally what you would do, right? In other words, you get a thought. That's what happened to me about investing money in something. It wasn't normal. It wasn't the normal thing I did, and I hesitated because it wasn't what I normally did. How many have been there where you get something from God, it's not something you normally have done, and the first thing is like, is that God? Is that not God? That's strange. I've never done that before. Maybe that wasn't God. Shut up. And the reason I say that is because you knew it was the Holy Ghost. And you begin to hesitate. So when you get a nudge, you get a prompt, and it's different, the way to do is just start moving in that direction. You can't steer a parked car. If you're moving, it can be directed. So even if you're wrong, you're moving in the right direction. Even if you're off, you can be directed, right? But if you're just sitting there thinking about it, you're not moving. You're not acting. You're not responding. So it's best when you get a direction, just start doing something, right? Respond. Let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 7. We'll look at this in the King James. Says what? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Do what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we say submit, that's like trust in the Lord. That means I'm subordinating myself or subjecting myself to him. I'm obeying him. I'm trusting him. I like this. This is God's word translation. It says, so place yourselves under God's authority. Oh, I like that. Place yourself. That means I'm doing something. Place myself under God's authority. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. This is another translation, the Barclay translation, James 4, 7. It says, so then accept the authority of God. So accept the authority of God. Take a stand against the devil and he will run away from you. Yeah. Accept the authority. Resist. 1 Peter 5, 8. And I'm going to look at this in the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. It says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. And let's look at the Passion Translation. So what we're talking about is we're to do what? Stand, be alert, be sober, be vigilant. This is the Passion. It says, be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion. Didn't say he was, like a roaring lion, looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of trouble you endure. So God is, he's exhorted us to, by his Spirit, to do what? Fight the good fight of faith. Be alert. Stand strong. Exercise your faith. Do something with it. Don't just say, I'm going to do this, but then don't. When he shows you something, do it. Exercise it. You know, let's quickly look at Joshua chapter 1. You know, we're familiar with verse 8. We'll read that. But Joshua 1, starting in verse 5. How many know the Old Testament didn't go away? We're redeemed from the curse of the law, but God's word still stands, doesn't it? Old or new. We have a better covenant, but he still shared some things with who? With Joshua. Starting in verse 5 in the King James, it said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What's the next thing he said in verse 6? Be strong and of a what? A good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. only says it again, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Look at verse 9. What does he say again? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of what? Good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be not afraid, be of good courage, for the Lord thy God not only goeth with you, he's in you. Be not afraid, fight the good fight of faith, resist the devil at every turn. That's what we read over here in 1 Peter. Stand firm against every attack. Take a decisive stand against him. Resist every attack with strong, vigorous faith. I tell you, we're in a season right now where God is moving and the church needs to wake up. And the church needs to stand up and resist the devil. He's the one stirring up the pot. He's the one that's influencing people to do bad things. And I believe when the church rises up, I believe you're going to see a more of a change. I do. It's going to change. And it is changing. Hallelujah. I believe God. How about you? So one of the things that we do, let's take a look at James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3 and 4 in the King James. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word temptations really means adversity. So whenever you start experiencing some adversity, what does it say? Count it all joy. Why? Because I'm on the victory side. I win. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word is really endurance. And then verse 4, but let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So when the pressure's on, what do we need to do? Count it all joy. Get a good laugh on. Stir your heart up. This is exactly what Paul and Silas did, didn't they? They prayed and sang praises unto God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to do what? We're going to resist the devil. And it says here, he will flee. Glory to God. So God is looking for an army that has a mindset that is going to fight and is going to stand firm and not budge. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what they look like, I'm not budging. I'm not moving. You know how some people are, they want to be ornery with people, but you need to take that stubborn portion of you and stand against adversity that comes. Hallelujah. Amen. How many are willing to do that? How many are doing it and going to continue to do it, make a resolve that I'm not laying down, I'm not giving up what God has given me, I'm not giving in and letting the devil just run roughshod through our area that we live in. Not going to do it. I think sometimes people, you know, we can look at the news so much that it looks beyond, how many would agree, sometimes when you look at something, you go, well, what? How could I change that? How am I going to change that? It's a done deal. It's a law. Now I can't do anything. Really? So now you're saying just because they pass a law, you can't do something? You can pray. You can begin to take authority over that and you know, fight it. I mean, if you took that mindset, what happened to the law that they passed, Roe versus Wade? Everybody just, you know, they just lay down, oh, well, it's the law of the land. We can't do anything. No, but there were people with a heart to see it changed. And then people prayed and it changed. So why can't that happen with other things? It can. You know, I saw something and I sent myself an email, and this happens, this is right in our, as they say, right in our neighborhood, right in Clarkstown, right in our area where we live. They had a town meeting and the parents and people in that community, which is where we live here, went to a school board meeting. They want to vote out those that are on the school board because the school board wants to pass neutral bathrooms where anybody can go in wherever they want. And I'm reading, this right in our backyard here. No. But we're snoozing. We're not reading, we're not looking, we're not praying. And even if you didn't read, God could show us when we don't know how to pray as we ought, pray in the Holy Ghost. But what was encouraging was the parents stood up. I don't know if they know Jesus or not, but these are parents that said, they're not doing that with my child. No. I mean, if you're just a parent, you're like, no, they're not doing that. And so they're rising up. And I said, see, there's prayer going forth in this neighborhood that are stirring the hearts of people up to do what? Resist. Now, they're resisting people and laws, but I'm thinking, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's people that are standing up for what's right. So I'm reading that. I went, oh, really? No, they're going to be removed. And that's not going to be passed. No. Because you've got some parents that won't take it. They won't tolerate it. And they'll make enough noise so they won't pass it. And I said, good. So we don't fight people, but we fight for the things that are valuable, right? In other words, these are your families. These are your children. You don't even know what's going on in the school. You there with them? No, you're not. So you don't even know what they're teaching your kids. Unless they come home and say, Mommy, Daddy, they did this. And they said this. They're influencing our children, and if it's not for good, then we need to know. And prayer will change it. We need to do what? Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold upon eternal life, upon what? The things that we've professed, a good profession. And we're going to resist not people, but the devil. It said, when we do, he'll run. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, we cannot just stick our head in the sand and hope everything turns out. It doesn't work that way. We are in a spiritual fight, and it's a fight between good and evil. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you're stirring our hearts to be aware, to be knowledgeable, to know what's going on, and to fight the good fight of faith and to resist the devil. We submit ourselves unto you, Lord, this day. Use us, show us, stir us to action and to pray and fight for those things that are your will. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's things that, I mean, when I don't know about you, but I guess maybe the generation I went to school, we just went to school and had fun. We didn't have all this stuff that's encumbered with now. Yeah, things changed a little bit when I got into high school. There were drugs and stuff like that and things like that, but certainly not all of this stuff where they're trying to tell you who you really are and what you are and all this kind of goofiness. I said, no. We need to fight for our families and our children, and we need to stand up and resist. Take hold of things that are right and just. Because I'll tell you, if you don't, you'll wake up one morning and it may be a different story. And we're not going to have that. Praise God. Amen. Father, stir our hearts to action. Stir our hearts. Forgive us, Father, for not responding to the degree that we should. Because your word says those that know to do good and don't, it's sin. So you ever see that? When he shows you something to do and he shows you what's right and you don't do it, it's sin. So, you know, some people think, oh, well, you know, God's a good God. He's a just God. He is. But if he shows you to forgive somebody and you don't, it's sin for you. Did you ever think about that? If he says, just like he said to me, forgive, let it go. If I didn't, it would be sin. So for all of us, what are the things that God has shown us that we're not doing? You need to fix it. You may not know how to fix it, but you say, Lord, I repent today. There's things that you've showed me to do, and I'm going to fix it. I ask you to forgive me, and now help me to do it. Empower me to do it. See, you know, that's where miracles start. You know, if you get people operating in obedience, man, miracles are released in your life, in your body, in your family, in a household. You know, you could have people not resisting and not obeying God, and it affects the whole family. That's true. Brother Hagin tells that story. He said when his son, this is now Pastor Hagin now, he was in the army. And he told him, he said, Pastor Hagin said he was just cutting up. They went out on leave or whatever, and they were on motorcycles, zooming around mountains, up in the mountains somewhere. And he said he came zooming around this mountaintop, and he said his bike swooped out like this, and he said it was a sheer drop straight down. And he said his back tire went off, and he said he should have gone over. And he said all of a sudden his tire kicked back in, boom, off he went. And he said, Brother Hagin said he was praying, and the Lord said, pray. And he told him, he said, if you had not obeyed me to do the things I told you to do, you'd be bringing your son home in a body bag. And because he obeyed, he protected his family. And that's all I'm saying is that whatever we need to fix, obey. Because the blessings of God, the protection of God, the power of God will be released in your family by obeying. You may not see it immediately, but he will protect your children. He will protect you. So you won't be affected by all this junk that's going on. He will bless you because you do what? Obey. You obey him. So when we see something, oh boy, it's good to obey. Because he'll protect us. We don't step out. This is all that Smith Wigglesworth. If he can get us out of faith, we get over into the devil's territory. When you don't operate in faith, that means it's more than just believing, is doing. So when I see something and he shows me something, be quick to obey. What did Abraham do? He was quick when he said, go sacrifice your son. He didn't hesitate. He got right up and did it. He didn't know how it was going to all turn out, but he did. He went ahead. So when God gives us something to do or to say, be quick to do it. And even today, I sense, you know, if there's something you need to fix, just fix it. Don't get in the dump. Don't say, oh, I should have done that. I missed it. Yeah, we all have. Just fix it. Just say, Lord, I'm gonna operate. I'm in obedience. I'm gonna obey you when you show me. Amen. Because I'm telling you, I want to walk in miracles. I want to walk in the blessings. I want to walk in protection. I want to walk in all of his goodness. But it takes obedience. To obey him. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. We may do that some, maybe next week we'll have some good testimonies. I'll tell you, you know, there's benefits to obeying. Praise God. Amen. Well, if you're here today, we're going to unhook here, but if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you never asked him to come into your heart, most of us, I know, and probably all of us here, know him as Lord and Savior. But if you're here today or you're watching online, just say this simple prayer. If you've never believed and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead, then here's your opportunity to do so. Let's say this. Father God, I believe your word, which says that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of mankind. I believe that he took my sins and he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, he and myself were raised from the dead, and I now receive him as my Savior, I believe that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I've received eternal life, and now I'm saved. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it in your heart, then that means you've gotten born again. You have eternal life now residing in you. And if you're here today, just let us know and we'll give you some free information as to who you have become. And if you're watching online, just you can either email us or call us or write us from the information on the phone, and we'll send some free information to you in Jesus' name. Amen.